When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
The reaction's not good, man. The reaction is not good. Teams doing, Texans doing a lot of the same things that have been allowing bad teams to stay in games, and they win. The Texans win in the end. Now they're losing these games. They're losing to two-win Jets, losing to the two-win Titans. This just in. You know how many wins the Jags have, Seth? Two. That's how many. Yeah, they've gotten really good at losing to two-win teams over the last month or so.
And the thing, it would be even, it would almost at least be less frustrating if the Texans had blown out teams along the way.
Correct.
Or just had signature victories against good teams or what have you. And they have not done that. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like you're holding on for dear life no matter who the opponent is. So yeah, those, I thought Clint, by the way, Sean, yesterday made a really good point at one time. It was after the DeMeco press conference, I think, when, you know, they point to these situational football issues where, okay, they're making mistakes in critical areas or key areas, and they got to stop that. And Clint, to paraphrase him, just said, yeah, but they're making those same errors throughout the game.
They're just bad.
So, yes, they're going to pop up because they pop up in non-critical situations. How many times are there critical situations specifically because somebody made an error that turned it into a critical situation? Yep. Oh, it's 3rd and 20 now, you say.
How did we get here?
Instead of 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
Because your offensive linemen just have no respect for law or order. They're a bunch of scofflaws out there. Yeah. They just don't care. They say they pee all over the rule book.
Yep.
That's their pep talk every morning before the game. They go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
They go into the shower. They put a rule book on the shower floor, and then they all pee on
big
it. They have a big old sword fight together.
Big old sword fight.
Yeah.
Just doing a quick dashboard check on the Texans' postseason chances. According to playoffstatus.com, you tell me, Seth, does this feel like a team that has an 89% chance to make the postseason right now? Because that's what the computers and the simulations are telling us.
Sean, you got to remember, they still have a game coming up against the Titans. Who are they? They suck,
that's
right?
True. That's
you
true.
You know, they've got the Jaguars coming up, and they certainly couldn't lose to a two-win football team.
Right.
No, I don't. I don't. Everybody that wants to say I told you so or what have you, yeah, this game right here, even if the Texans had won, even if Kyahmi Fairbairn could be troubled to make a 28-yard field goal and then they win the game after that, we'd still be, I think I'd be saying the exact same thing.
No,
you're not going to do a damn thing in the playoffs when you play the way you've been playing.
Yes, that is where mentally I was preparing myself for the postgame.
Yeah.
because I was like, okay, they're, you know, in the fourth quarter, I'm like, all right, they're up 27-23. I'm like, all right, they're going to win this game. But there, man, there is a lot to worry about still with this team. And I guess they did me the good service of not sounding like a negative Nancy amidst a win. They said, no, Sean, it's cool. We'll just lose, so your negativity is actually very, very applicable. Now, they still have a two-game lead in the division. The Colts are kind of a mess. I would say the rest of the division's a mess, but you just lost to one of them yesterday. But they, I mean, the Titans are 3-8. They're not catching you, I don't think. So, yeah, like, the math is out there, but this team is capable. I'm with you, Seth. Like, they're... I'll tell you what, like 0-5 has a much bigger chance of happening than 5-0 down the stretch here. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. The thought of them going on a run or something. I mean, and just, boy, I know that this is a sentiment that a lot of people share. And usually I would try to be like, you know, Joe Rational about this. I don't want to hear about any more players-only meetings.
As soon as Jimmy said that yesterday, I'm like, well, that's a bad look. I'm glad you brought that up, because I know, I know you, as a former player, you kind of bring a little bit of sanity to the perception of the players-only meeting.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Ward, with a quote that we played from him earlier, where we were asking, like, hey, man, like, why do you guys get in all these close games? And he talked about playing down to the level of competition. And he made it sound like they've had multiple players-only meetings, and there might need to be another one here soon. And that's another, to me... This is, again, a fan who's never been in these, quote, players-only meetings. I'm like, isn't this the job of the head coach eventually to get these guys to get their act in order? Like,
yeah, there is a part. Yes, leadership from within is awesome and everything.
Yes.
But the problem is, on offense right now, they're playing like children. They need they need guidance. You never get the – you never say, boy, this junior high has a whole lot of issues. Yeah. You know what we really need? We need the junior high students to really get together and lead leadership from the junior high itself.
We need the eighth graders to really take the reins.
Yeah, yeah. The offense is performing like a poorly performing junior high, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you need the Joe, the Batman from the movie there,
right.
Or whomever to come in, but it's not the students themselves that are the issue. The other part about it, too, is maybe more relatable is anybody that's listening who's ever been in a company that's struggling or something, that like when is it ever the actual solution, when it's like, God, maybe we need to have more meetings? Yeah. It's been my experience in organizations of all variety that when you start thinking that, like, maybe we need more meetings, that's a symptom, not a cure.
Excellent.
That's
point.
Excellent
point.
Maybe I need to have more headaches. To stop having these headaches.
I liked Jimmy Ward's interview that he did with me and Clint in the postgame, but the player, when he brought up the players only meetings, like, no, that ain't it. Also not it. DeMeco, I thought DeMeco's had a lot of good moments, man, as head coach of this football team, and I'm hopeful for many, many more in the future. This, to me, was his worst press conference moment after a loss yesterday. The question was, are you concerned that you need more from the offense? Keep in mind, need more from the offense. An offense that has scored a total of 7 touchdowns in the second half of football, 12 football games this year, 7 touchdowns in the second half.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, like, our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. And defense, we had to be able to stop them.
They didn't give you enough points. The defense gave you 7 of those points on a Jimmy Ward pick 6. So the offense scored 20. 7 of those came on a one-play touchdown drive in the first 15 seconds of the game. 3 of those came after a muffed punt where the offense moved the ball 7 yards on 4 plays. So the offense in the second half of this football game, when you take penalty yardage out, like the net yardage in the second half, they ran 29 plays and gained 54 net yards.
Oh my God.
Let me say that again. DeMeco Ryans thinks that an offense that in the second half of this football game ran 29 plays And when you add it all up, penalties and everything, this, gained 54 yards, did enough to win the football game.
Sean, this is the problem.
Why does he do this?
This is the problem right there. That's a speech you give to the defense on Monday morning.
Yeah.
That's, hey, listen, we don't make excuses. We got to do enough. Look, that's a bad offense we played that struggles to score them more than 17 points in a game. And that's something a defensive coordinator says.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
it comes to looking at the sum total of everything and the big picture, no. You had no, the offense was an issue yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Multiple things can be true. It can be both the offense and the defense. And yep. no, that was that right.
It.
That feels like a defensive coordinator who happens to be the head coach.
Yes. Oh, bingo. Yes. That's what it feels like, and that's a concern. That's a major concern, especially when you got so many
only meeting about that.
So many problems to fix. You, me, and Ben after the show, Seth. Players only.
They're running out of time during the day to have players only meetings. That's the hardest thing. They're going to have to be sure you check your GPS monitors to be sure you guys aren't meeting too much. The fatigue will set in.
All those short weeks coming up. How are they going to
squeeze? Go get your damn hot apple cider and a nap and a hug from grandma.
Oh man,
you know,
Seth. Antibodies to you.
Antibodies and dash your GPS monitors against the rocks. Get back to old school football, damn
Amen
it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, we're done. We are out of time. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, they're going to take you through the next couple hours. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long as we do the autopsy on yesterday's horrific loss to the Tennessee Titans.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.